What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
8:03 in the a.m. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan. Ed Norris, Rob Long. Ed, mm-hmm. At the home front in Baltimore, I am in Boston for the O's Red Sox 2-game series. Joining us right now from filmstudybaltimore.com, he is Ken McCusick. Good morning to you, Ken.
Hey, Rob, how's it going? Man, you're lucky to be up there in Basayo land.
I'm not lucky to see Basayo. I'm not lucky to be in Boston. I don't like Boston.
Ken's
and
sitting
it's cold.
In your chair naked, by the way.
And it's and it's cold. It's 54 degrees when I got up this morning.
He's ignoring me.
I heard you. I heard you. If I were in my room broadcasting, I would be in my chair. You see me swinging. Again, the emergence of Ruben Lowry. Who and what can he bring to the Ravens secondary?
Yeah, well, first of all, very smart guy. I don't know if his background, but a mechanical engineering degree from the University of Tennessee, Chattanooga. And he's in some rocketry program, which is recognized by NASA nationally. So they had, anyway, that's a long story.
So he makes football rocket science.
He really is. He's literally a rocket scientist.
We already have one of those. We have Sigma Dell.
he's definitely a guy who learns the playbook quickly. I think that's been part of the reason they liked him so much. The Ravens really have a type, by the way. Jeremy Lucien a few years ago, exactly this kind of player, two years ago now. But anyway, it looks like he's the fourth safety now after this game. And it is an interesting order of entry problem, but Lowry was in the game before Braid and played the same positions. They each played some deep safety on a split field role and also at slot corner because they were very short on that in this last game. But I think he's ahead of Braid on the roster, so it's a matter of whether they keep four or five safeties. But Lowry, I think, has made the team.
Hmm. Well, what could you start with the 10,000-foot view? I mean, the Ravens looked smothering and suffocating in that game. Or do the Cowboys really suck?
Probably a little bit of
both.
Yeah. I mean, it's not that Joe Milton was terrible. I mean, I thought he comported himself reasonably well in the pocket and whatnot. They've got some legitimate weapons on the defensive line and at defensive end that they showed to the Ravens. I thought they handled reasonably effectively. They didn't allow a sack in the game. At least that's something. But yeah, it was a combined effort, offense and defense. I thought that Rush moved the ball, moved the team fairly well. Really played a lot better than his statistics would indicate. Those two interceptions, he got betrayed on the first one by the official and Wester, I'll call it, and on the second one, ball went right through Ali's hands. Just a terrible play.
Yeah.
But I thought he moved the team very well. Stood in against pressure very well as well. So he might be the guy who my opinion changed most on this week.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Ken McCusick joins us, filmstudybaltimore.com. Ken, I asked Ed yesterday, the two running backs, were they auditioning for their next team, or is there room for either one of them on the Baltimore Ravens team?
Yeah, so John Harbaugh was at the podium after the game and said that Ali was going to be kept as the fourth running back, and I'm paraphrasing, of course, but go out there and read what he said. He's basically right. He's given him a roster spot already. I don't think a 19-carry workload is highly indicative of a player you're going to keep. I think it's more of a showcasing move. So we'll see how that actually plays out. But one thing that might make a spot for Ali is if they IR likely, which – you know, again, you might be giving away something already about the opening game roster. If you're saying Ali's getting a spot, everybody else is going to assume that likely is not going to be back for that game or for the first 4 weeks. So, you know, that would be the way he would get a spot, to my way of thinking. I can't otherwise find a spot for him on the 25 on offense the Ravens are likely to keep.
We have a lot to cover in this segment. There was a lot. But before I do that, I want to ask the broader question again. We're assessing this, and we ask specific questions about preseason games because this is a way to judge talent. How do you do it when it's so, you say, awkward or uneven? Like, do we really believe that the Bears would beat the Bills 38-0 in a regular season? Will you believe that, you know, any of these things? Half of these scores are just preposterous. I mean, I don't think the Browns are going to beat the Eagles at any time. I don't think the Patriots are going to beat the Vikings in, you know, given on any given Sunday. And this all happened last week. Mm-hmm. So how do you, like, what kind of curve do you use to assess this?
At an individual level, I think you look at it and you have to consider context and when they were in mm-hmm. the game. But I'll say this. I think what we did see is the Ravens have flexed an unbelievable amount of defensive depth, which is what led them
right.
to the 24-game preseason win streak. It's all about just having way better twos and threes than the other team's twos and threes mm-hmm. You know, down the roster. I think that's what you can draw from it. Now, does that help you in terms of building a regular season roster, which I think is a more pertinent question? Yeah, I think it does. It helps you fill out the back end of your roster. It also helps you have your players poached when you try and get them through the practice
yes,
squad.
Yes, we put a practice squad, yes.
At the end of camp.
Ken McKusick joins us, filmstudybaltimore.com. Ken is going to stay with us on the other side. I want to ask you about a player who may have taken a huge step back from week one to week two. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Coming up on 8:15 in the a.m., Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Ken McKusick joins us from filmstudybaltimore.com. Ken, after preseason game number one, LaJonte Wester was the talk of town. Your thoughts on him from Saturday?
Yeah, tough game, too. A couple fair catches on the punt return, which, you know, moved up on the ball once, not the second time. But he didn't catch any of his four targets as a receiver, and that was bad. Dropped the first one. It was a, you know, kind of a comedy of errors, drop off his chest and then almost intercepted. Then he had a DPI that was not called on the interception, but he was kind of asking for the flag rather than playing defense on that play, which was kind of bad, I thought. Then he had a DPI not called that was probably a more serious one where the defensive back literally turned him around with his left arm as he reached across his body with his right one to knock the ball away. And then he didn't drop a ball, but the ball dropped in bounds in a bracket where he could not quite in a bracket with him bracketed to either side. I'm getting two plays confused here. But it dropped in bounds, and that's a risk of an interception on that play. So not a good night for him. They didn't use him on a bunch of gadget and wide receiver screen plays in this game, which, you know, you're hoping he can get in there and get some yak. But most of that in this game was Wade.
Hmm. Do you think any of the receiving core look good in this game?
The big one was Walker. So he had six catches. Wade looked pretty good too, by the way. Wade had 45 yards and 48 yak in the game. So he's doing what could help the team with some comeback routes. But sticking with Walker for a second, they took him out of his comfort zone. So he didn't run a bunch of 7, 8, and 9 routes, not a bunch of try and beat the corner with the vertical speed. Everything was coming back or underneath, and he held onto the ball. He didn't get distracted. He reached back for that first catch. It was about 15 yards on the play outside of his frame, so that was a good catch. I thought he looked probably the best of the receivers, and he needs comeback routes. I mean, that's the big thing you need. He had a couple of those in there. He needs that in order to magnify his speed and make him a more dangerous weapon deep. So I want to see him cross more, and I want to see him come back more. But I thought Walker had a good game.
I do, too. I liked him before this, and that's why I was asking, because I liked him prior to these exhibition games. I think he's got talent. I think he can contribute here.
Ken McKusick joins us, filmstudybaltimore.com. Ken, what was your assessment of the offensive linemen, especially Corey Bullock?
Yeah, so Corey Bullock, I thought, had a good game except for the holding penalty, which is like it's a good game. She's beautiful except half her face is missing. In 35 snaps to have a holding call is going to significantly reduce your overall value. But he's clearly the number two center at this point. He's a guy they may in fact be grooming for as a potential 2026 replacement for Linderbaum. They have to be prepared. No, nobody wants Tyler to leave, but if he does, if they can't come to agreement on price, they have to have an alternative. And he now looks like a reasonable one who'll start the season as the backup there. Certainly, I think he's made the roster clearly. The two offensive linemen, if you don't mind me just running on with this a little bit.
Go ahead.
Carson Vinson and Garrett Dellinger both played various degrees of good. And what I'll say about Vinson is I was really more impressed when we went back and looked at it block by block, than when we looked at it at the macro level where we're taking notes on everything. And he had a game where he probably graded a C, right in the middle of the C range, and I can't even tell you how good that is for a developmental lineman at this point. Normally, it's really good if you're at a C level in your second NFL season, and it's outstanding if you're there in your first NFL season. That's like what Linderbaum was. It was about a C plus as a rookie. And for him to be this good at this point is terrific. Give up a bunch of pressure events, and there were some ugly moments in there, but he fought like hell. He gets downfield very effectively, pushes people down in level two. He's a finisher, like Daniel Falele. You watch him, he's not really that same kind of finisher. Right away, Carson Vinson has that killer instinct, and he was having a lot of fun and really feeling it in this game. And Garrett Dellinger, very consistent throughout the game. Appears to have the what the Ravens need in terms of mobility to pull from left to right. That's the thing they're missing a lot on the right side with Falele. As good as he finished last year, Daniel Falele has a lot of problems with mobility and limitations that the offense has to work with. They can't really afford to have that on the left side as well. And Dellinger looks like he meets that standard, and Voorhees looks like he meets that standard as well. So excited about what I saw from those two guys.
What if you was looking at was Deez Isaac?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, by now people know he got injured. Ojabo is, I don't know, not really shown anything in my opinion, or very much. Are they going to be forced to insert him into this roster spot, or are they going to look around?
I think it could go either way. Still, I mean, obviously, I think if nothing changes, Ojabo is the fifth outside linebacker. But to me, I'm looking at the inactives on who's going to be inactive on day. The easiest inactive, maybe on the whole roster, other than the two offensive linemen who'll be sitting. Is probably Ojabo. He's probably the next easy. You only need four outside linebackers on a day. Ojabo's not a big special teams contributor. He can do some things for you, but not like Isaac could.
Yeah.
And so it means that I think they're probably going to have him inactive for some weeks.
Okay.
Ken McCusick, FilmStudyBaltimore.com. Ken, going from game number one to game number two, did anybody catch your attention that maybe you either weren't impressed with before or you didn't even recognize before?
So Rush was the big step forward in terms of being able to move the team. But I think we've talked about him already. You know, who else looked good that was a big step forward? There's so many guys on defense to talk about. I'm really impressed with both of the UDFA inside linebackers, Chandler Martin and Jay Higgins. Both of them just playing great football right now. And they're really making a case to be on some team. I hope the Ravens have the space to keep one of them. But to do so, it might be a player like Bo Braid would get cut. So they've got some very tough roster decisions ahead. And there are a lot of guys on defense right now who are popping.
What about special teams? We talked a little bit about Wester. Loop had a good day. You know? Mm-hmm. Our punting is always good. I mean, I feel the special teams has made more of an improvement than either of the offense or defense because they weren't very good last year.
Yeah. So start to two elements to that. The specialist group is looking very good this year. I mean, Loop has been outstanding in camp. He had reportedly stubbed his toe on one field goal he missed, and he did miss another, but he's 6-for-8, I think, in the preseason so far mm-hmm. with field goals. He's been solid, kicked long kicks. He's got all the leg strength you would want. He seems to kick a very straight ball. But if I'm going to the other players who are covering kicks and returning kicks, that's where the group could be really impressive this year, but they need to find one additional big to play on both sides of the punt game, which means they need one additional bigger body. And that's where I'm hoping there's an opportunity for either Martin or Higgins because they would fit that role and they can play on the line of scrimmage, effectively playing defense and stopping dive plays from occurring on fake punts
mm-hmm.
and also on blocking on punts. So they need an extra big. So it's a little unusual that you put a safety on the inside on that. I'm not saying they never do it, but it's usually a set of linebackers that are your core special teamers on that punt and punt return team.
410-583-1057. That's the number. You want to get a question in to Ken. Ken, tell us all about Film Study Baltimore. What's going on this week?
Good stuff. The camp review episodes are done for the summer because I'm done with camp as of Friday. But always happy to have people come over to the website, look around. The defense review posted yesterday. Offense will post today. A look at the game day inactives with this crowded 53-man roster is coming tomorrow. So a lot of things happening this week.
There you go. Ken, thanks a lot, my friend. Talk to you next week as we get ready, or I should say as we talk about preseason game, not only number three, but that final 53-man roster. Before you go, do you expect any surprises for the Baltimore Ravens?
You know, I don't really. I saw Brian Wacker had a in the Sun put out a 53-man roster today, and I think I completely agree with it, which is really strange. So it's got exactly the 53 I would expect. So I don't really expect surprises. He was just too deep for it right now. Somebody could get hurt, of course, but yeah.
All right, Ken, talk to you next week, my friend.
Take it easy.
All right, 410-583-1057, that's the number. Ed and I giving out shovels at 845. If you want to give one, you can give us a call. But on the other side, no surprise to anyone, Joe Flacco named the Browns starter. When it's all said and done, what's his legacy for the NFL? Or does he have one? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.